We are in the book of Judges today, Judges chapter 14. And we begin our study in verse 15. This is our ninth study in the book of Judges. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Judges chapter 14, and we are looking at the life of Samson, who was a very gifted man. God gave him tremendous strength, ability, but he had no character. One of the problems with Samson is that he was attracted to heathen women, the Philistines, and he wanted to marry one. And so he went down to marry her, and they had a wedding celebration with the bride's family and friends, and there were 30 companions were given to Samson, it says. And for entertainment, he put forth a riddle to these Philistines. And let's begin reading in chapter 14, verse 12. "Let me tell you a riddle," Samson said to them. "If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes." "Tell us your riddle," they said. "Let's hear it." He replied, "Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet." For 3 days, they could not give the answer. Verse 15, "On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, 'Coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us?'" Well, these guys play hardball, don't they? It's supposed to be a fun thing. They accepted the challenge of the riddle, but now they can't figure it out. They're losing. They threaten murder. They're the type who would pull a gun on you if you rammed into them with your bumper car at the fair, I guess. Verse 16. "Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, 'You hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer.'" You know, Samson's wife should have just told him the truth. "Samson, they're going to kill me if I don't come through and give them the answer to your riddle." He would have taken care of them in a hurry. You know he would have. And he could have. But she was not a woman of God, so she didn't approach him the right way. And he certainly wasn't acting like a man of God, and this marriage sure was not in God. And so things will just go from bad to worse in this situation. Last part of verse 16. "I haven't even explained it to my father or mother," he replied. "So why should I explain it to you?" Well, that's a real slap in the face for a bride. He has just told his bride that she was not as important to him as his mom and dad. If somebody isn't willing to put their wife above their parents, then they better not marry that wife. They better keep looking until they find a partner that they really love. Verse 17. "She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day, he finally told her, because she continued to press him. And she in turn explained the riddle to her people." It is amazing. Samson could kill a lion with his bare hands, but the tears of this woman were able to overcome him. Some women can manipulate some men into doing things contrary to God's will and contrary to their best interest. That is a good relationship for a guy to break off. Verse 18. "Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, 'What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?' Samson said to them, 'If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. And if you think calling your wife a heifer might be an insult, I think you're right.'" She betrayed her husband, and now that's what he thinks of her. And I'm not saying it was right for him to say that, but really, she should not be surprised. 19. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, and he went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Samson is acting like a lunatic. He pays off his debt by killing 30 men and taking their garments and giving it to his 30 Philistine guests. Last part of verse 19. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house. Now, the seventh day of a marriage celebration was the day when the marriage was consummated by the man and the woman. But Samson is so angry at his wife and so angry at their wedding guest that he didn't even return to them. Instead, he just went home. Verse 20. And Samson's wife was given to a friend who had attended him at his wedding. Boy, you didn't leave a woman at the altar in those days and get away with it, I guess. Chapter 15, verse 1. Later on, at the time of wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. He said, "I'm going to my wife's room." But her father would not let him go in. Samson was so arrogant and so self-centered that he just thought that he could call his own shots all the time. He could do things his own way all the time and get away with it. He would consummate his marriage with his wife anytime he felt like it. But no one can do things their own way all the time. And Samson will not have his own way here. Because look at verse 2. The father of the bride. He says, "I was so sure that you thoroughly hated her," he said, "that I gave her to your friend. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead." Samson said to them, "This time I have the right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them." So he went out and caught 300 foxes and tied them tail to tail in pairs. Then he fastened a torch to every pair of the tails, lit the torches, and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and standing grain, together with the vineyards and the olive groves. Unbelievable. Samson catches 300 foxes. I don't know how long it took him to do this. Doesn't say how long it took him to do it. But he catches 300 foxes, ties them together, two by two, by their tails, and then somehow he sticks 150 torches between their tails and he lets them loose in the grain fields of the Philistines and the olive orchards. I gotta tell you, Samson is creative. I'll give him that much. Too bad he was full of the devil much of the time, like here. He destroys the grain fields, the orchards of the Philistines, as in addition to being just very cruel to these 300 animals. And then look what happened as a result of that. Verse 6. When the Philistines asked who did this, they were told Samson, the Timnite's son-in-law, because his wife was given to his friend. So the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. Well, they're just as crazy as he is. Evidently, the Philistines blamed Samson's would have been a wife and her family for what Samson did, so they killed her and her father. 7. Samson said to them, "Since you have acted like this, I won't stop until I get my revenge on you." And then verse 8, he attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them, and then he went down, stayed in the cave in the rock of Edom. Samson goes out and slaughters every Philistine in the area. Some of the literal translations say hip and thigh. He defeated them hip and thigh, which means piece by piece. Verse 9, the Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. They're coming after him. Samson is in a cave. The Philistines come up against him. And they didn't come up in small numbers either. They spread out, meaning there were many of them. And all these Philistines are against the one man, Samson. Verse 10. The men of Judah asked, "Why have you come to fight us?" "We have come to take Samson prisoner," they answered, "to do to him as he did to us." Samson slaughtered many Philistines to get revenge for his wife, and now the Philistines want revenge. It's pretty clear that when people live for revenge, trouble escalates more and more. Violence just keeps escalating. Verse 11. Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us?" He answered, "I merely did to them what they did to me." Samson's got his own people, the Israelites, ticked off at him because he's so reckless. And he's antagonizing the Philistines who are ruling over them, and he's just making matters worse for his countrymen. And the people of Israel see Samson as being sort of a loose cannon. But Samson makes it clear he didn't care what anybody thought of him. He still did what he felt like doing, and that was his problem. He always did what he felt like doing. And even when he fought the Philistines, he wasn't fighting for his people or for the Lord. He was fighting against the Philistines because they did something to him. 12. They said to him, "We've come to tie you up." These are his own people now. "And hand you over to the Philistines." Samson said, "Swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves." "Agreed," they answered. "We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. And here the Israelites do a favor for their worst enemies, the Philistines, by handing Samson over to them. Samson was God's deliverer. A messed up deliverer, for sure, but still their deliverer. The Israelites, as bad as Samson was, they should not have handed him over to the enemy. Verse 14. As he approached Lehi, as Samson approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, and the ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Samson's attackers, the Philistines, they saw him all bound in those ropes, and they started rejoicing in their victory. But their rejoicing was premature. It was like the rejoicing of the scribes and the Pharisees and the devil on Good Friday afternoon. That rejoicing was premature also. 15. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With the donkey's jawbone I have made donkeys of them. With the donkey's jawbone I have killed 1,000 men." The word 1,000 is sometimes used figuratively in Scripture for many, a whole lot. That may be how it's used here. But I wonder what the cowardly Israelites thought, who had handed Samson over, when they saw Samson take care of all those Philistines single-handedly. Samson has been called by God to deliver his people from the Philistines, and he does it pretty well sometimes, like here. 17. When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramoth Lehi. And in verse 18, because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, "You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Samson is the type of man who thinks that the whole world should revolve around him for his pleasure. Whatever he wants now, and he expects it. And it's the same right here. He's thirsty. He demands something to drink. He immediately complains to God. Here's an error for us to avoid. When things are not going exactly as we hoped, it is important to remember that things are working together to fulfill God's purposes, not our immediate desires. We are not the issue. 19. Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. And when Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. So the spring was called En-Hakkor, and it is still there in Lehi. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. He led them for 20 years, but they were still the days of the Philistines. Samson probably had more natural ability or God-given ability than any other deliverer who ever ruled in Israel. And yet, during Samson's time, the Philistines continued to control the land. He never did deliver them completely. Which just goes to show that natural ability, God-given gifts, they do not accomplish anything for the Lord if the person who has it isn't sold out to God. That was Samson's problem. That's why it never worked. Chapter 16. And here's another example. Look at this. One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. A Philistine prostitute. And he went in to spend the night with her. Samson never achieved total victory over the Philistines, and one reason he did not is because he liked having them around. At least he liked having the women around. Christians will not get victory over their sin till they are sick of it, and they want it out of their life no matter what. God will not deliver people from sin as long as they still want to play with it. Verse 2. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn we will kill him. So the city of Gaza puts together a militia to kill Samson when he leaves that prostitute's house. But look at verse 3. Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Samson carries these city gates about 40 miles, actually. And you wonder why he never delivered Israel completely? Samson wasted the gift of strength that God gave him doing foolish things like this, which must have made the devil very happy, because when God's people waste God's gifts doing useless things or even bad things, then they are not being used for godly things. And that goes for time, and that goes for money, and that goes for gifts, talents that God gives us all. If they're not being used for God, if they're being used for useless things or even bad things, then they're not being used for good things. Verse 4. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Delilah, probably a Philistine, and maybe very beautiful. At least Samson probably thought she was. Whatever she had, she's going to use it, though, to manipulate him. Verse 5. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength, and how we can overpower him, so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver, which is a lot of silver, about 28 pounds. They want to buy information from Delilah concerning Samson. He loves her, and he thinks she loves him, which means he trusts her. And that also means it's open season on Samson, because he's about to be used by her. Verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength, and how you can be tied up and subdued. In other words, she asks, why are you so strong, Samson? And how could anyone possibly control you? And his answer should be, it's none of your business. And he had to walk away from her right now for asking that question. 7. Samson answered her, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs or bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man. He's just horsing around with her. He probably just said the first foolish thing that popped into his head, but she believes him. Look at verse 8. Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs or bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame, so the secret of his strength was not discovered. Tricked her again. I was thinking when I read this, you know, the devil knows an awful lot. And the devil knows more than we do. Certain things. And he must get very frustrated at the limits that God puts on him. Because I think Satan knew the secret of Samson's strength. It was God. It was the Holy Spirit. And yet, he could not communicate that information to Delilah. Or for sure he would have. 10. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." And he did lie to her, didn't he? He should have just kept his mouth shut. If we do not want someone to know something, we're better off just keeping our mouth shut instead of lying. 11. He said, "If someone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. And I wonder how long it took Delilah to round up some brand new people, or a brand new rope, I should say, that had never been used before by anyone. She went on a scavenger hunt looking for a brand new rope that had never been used. He is really making a fool out of her, is what he is doing. Verse 13. Delilah then said to Samson, "Until now, you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied," he replied. "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on a loom and tighten it with the pin, I will become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. Again, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he awoke from his sleep, pulled up the pin in the loom with the fabric. She weaved Samson's hair into her loom. That would be sort of like twisting it around a picket fence and then tying it tight. When she woke him up, he yanked the hair out of his loom. He didn't lose any strength. 15. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool out of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." And now Delilah uses the poor me tactic, the "you don't love me" tactic. I'll whine and say you don't love me, but of course I know you do. So that'll get you to do what I want. You'll do what I want. Because you feel sorry for me. Delilah figures, he will want me to feel better, so he will do something foolish like tell me the source of his strength. Lesson. Do not get drawn into something that you believe is wrong simply because someone uses the poor me thing or the you don't love me tactic, no matter who it is. 16. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. You know, he should have just walked away from her a long time ago. She was up to no good, that was clear. Instead, he hung around, and as a result, he is starting to lose his resistance. The Bible says we are to flee temptation, but he is hanging around, and the more you hang around, the more likely you are to give in to it. 16. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth." If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. Delilah was like a buzzing mosquito. Do you ever have a mosquito buzz around you at night when you're trying to go to sleep? Or every 30 seconds it comes back? You're trying to doze off, and you keep trying to swat it, it might go away, and then it comes back. And the last thing you want to do is get out of bed. But finally, after swatting several times, you do what you don't want to do. You get out of bed, turn on the light, and you kill it. It just isn't worth it anymore. That's how Delilah was towards Samson. It just got to the point where it wasn't worth it anymore. So he just told her. Did what he didn't want to do. 18. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Oh, and the devil must have rejoiced to see that Samson told Delilah everything that she needed to know. Now Satan can disarm one of God's most powerful weapons. Verse 19. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Samson fell in love with the wrong woman, and it will cost him. Lesson for us: stay away from the wrong type of people. It is important for Christians to stay away from the wrong type of people, because if they fall in love with the wrong type of people, get too close to them, get too entangled with them, it's going to be a nightmare. 20. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he woke from his sleep and thought, "I will go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Samson's power was in his hair. But it wasn't just in his hair. God somehow used that, but it was in the presence of God. Samson stepped over the line one too many times, and God finally walked away from him. 21. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. Well, lusting after pretty women will not be a temptation for Samson anymore, now that his eyes have been gouged out of his head. And not that it matters to someone who is not willing to repent, but it is not unusual for God to judge in that way. That is, to judge someone by removing from them the means to commit the sin that they love. Well, the story of Samson continues in verse 22 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.